examples in order to be able to do what we observe. And I thought about my son too. This is really neat. You know, my oldest son, I used to have to try to get the lead out of him. He's one of those kids that kind of runs slow, you know, and I want him to mow the lawn when he was getting up into late junior high and high school. I wanted him to mow the lawn. And so he hated it so bad. He'd mow a strip and leave a strip and mow again and keep doing that so that it needed to be done over. And he did that on purpose so I'd get sick of him mowing and do it myself or hand it off to one of the other boys. And so I wouldn't do it because I knew I was being manipulated. And so I'd stand out there and push him along and make him go all the way through it. And he'd start crying because he didn't like it. So what's interesting is as he grew up, when he got his first house, he and his wife got his first house, he did some mowing and that kind of thing when it had to be done, and like when it was 3 foot tall, you know. And finally, he just gave up. And he said, you know, Dad, I am never mowing a lawn again. I don't like to mow lawns, and I'm not going to do it. And I said, well, live the way you want to live, you know. And so a few years back, I went past their house, and it was looking kind of shabby. And so my grandson, Corey, he came out to greet us. And I said, Corey, would you like me to teach you how to mow lawns? I said, you could actually make some cash during the summer and maybe even into the school year before and after. And he goes, yeah, I'd love that, Grandpa. So I taught him how to maintain lawns, you know, the trimming and the all the stuff. So that looked really good. And so I hired him to do my lawn. And Stevie hired him to do his lawn. And then a few neighbors hired him to do the lawn. And really, I was quite shocked at how well he did. He's so much different than his dad. And so he just was real meticulous, and he'd do things very well. He'd trim well. He would mow well. He'd just edge and make it look real pretty and that kind of thing. And so the neighbors were real happy with him. But when he'd come over to my house, he wouldn't bring his trimmer because he had a gas trimmer, and so he didn't want to carry it in the car. So he'd use my electrical trimmer, and then I had this big, fat extension cord a big green, fluorescent green thing, and he'd run it around, but I realized that a lot of times it would be in the grass and he couldn't see it because the grass was green, right? And so I don't know how many times I rescued my extension cord from him driving over it. And I say, now, Corey, you got to pay attention here because, boy, if you cut that in half, that'd be a lot of money. Do you realize that extension cord probably costs $35? That'd be your mowing for the rest of the summer. So one particular day, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to let him do his thing. And he does it. And sure enough, he runs over the extension cord, knocks out our lights. You know, I have to go to the breakers and fix it. And he comes in and he's all shook up and he says, Grandpa, I ran over the extension cord. And I said, I know we've talked about a lot. And so let's go look at it. And he sliced that baby pretty clean, you know. So I said, well, get in the car. We're going to go down to Home Depot. And I guess we're going to have to spend the rest of your allowance, you know, your mowing money, because that's part of work, is you have to take care of things. So he was bummed, but it was like, yeah, Grandpa, you're right. And so we went down to Home Depot, and oh, man, those things that thick were $80, $90. And I just couldn't do that to him. So we were looking around, and I found a $5 patch, the big thick cord kit, you know. So I said, you know what, Corey, what I'm going to do for you is I'm just going to have you, you'll just have to take this out of today's, because I can't remember how much he got, but we'll just get this $5 and we'll patch it up. So we took it home and we stripped it out and soldered the ends together, and it had a little piece of rubber that went across and you heat it up, and then it just, man, you can't even tell. It still works to this day. I mean, just fine. And so what was interesting is when he came over again, he never hit the extension cord. It wasn't even close. In fact, when he would start to work in the backyard, because that's where he did it, over on my north side of the backyard, he'd go, Grandpa, can you come here? And I go, what? And he says, now look and see if you can see an extension cord anywhere. Well, I had to laugh, you know. I mean, he had to pay $5 for the kit, and he got pretty excessive or obsessive and compulsive almost of just making sure there wasn't any. I mean, he'd look around to see if there's any kind of cord hidden because he had done that. And I thought, you know, we learn by observation. And Corey learned by observation when he saw what it did. I'm willing to bet he's afraid of extension cords now. You know what I'm saying? It's just like he would never run over an extension cord. If one's there, he'd kick it out of the way and that kind of thing. And he knows everything about where an extension cord should be and hung up and all that kind of thing because he learned by observation. He learned by seeing what happened. In fact, he thought about it. He believed it to be true, right? He observed it and he lived it out in his life. And that's the theme that I want to talk tonight about with Paul the Apostle, that in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to learn two things more than we have over the whole series of 4:8. Because in 4:8, we had two things: meditate and then put it into action, right? Meditate on it and then it will come out into your life into action. And I want to add two more things because we'll be talking about verse 9, and that is observation and believing. And really, believing comes first in observation. And Paul's going to teach us today that we contemplate, then we believe it, then we observe it in others, and then we finally live it. Because we know what to do. You know, a couple weeks ago, somebody came over to me and said, do you know how to turn on the auditorium lights? Okay, if I got a nickel for every time somebody asked me to turn on these auditorium lights, I would be rich. I don't know if you've ever seen, but there's no light switches on the wall. It's all computerized, and so nobody really knows how to do it. And so I made a commitment to myself quite a while back that I am always going to be the light guy unless I train somebody else to do it, right? You know that. And so when somebody asks me to do something like turn on a thermostat or do like that, I want them over there. I want them to see how it's done, and I'm going to show them how they can do it. So each time, it seems to be a surprise when people, when they say, can you turn on the auditorium lights? And I said, I'd be glad to show you how you can turn on the lights. And they go, Steve, just turn on the lights. And I go, no, I am not going to do it. You're going to do it. Because I know that the scripture says that we learn by observation and we learn by example. And so I need to demonstrate to them how to turn on the lights. And so this person that asked me said, can you turn on the auditorium lights? I said, I will show you how to do it. And so then I got in and I started talking. They said, don't tell me how to do it. Show me how to do it. And I had been kind of meditating on this verse and I thought, wow, what a biblical thing to say, and they don't even know it. But think about it. Most of us do learn that way in sports. When a coach teaches his players how to field a football, he shows them how to do it, right? He can't say, well, just kind of go to your left and to the right and then around the corner. It's not going to work. He's got to show them that. Good teachers also teach by example. An English teacher shows them how to break down a sentence and diagram a sentence so they know how to do that. A chemistry teacher shows them how to mix chemicals or not how to mix certain chemicals without a problem. Piano students watch as their piano teacher puts their fingers on the keys and then takes their fingers and puts them on the keys. We see Jesus doing that all the time. He grabs a child and said, boy, in order to get into the kingdom, you have to become like a child. And so he shows that obvious example. He calmly bends down and scratches in the dirt when the adulterous lady is caught and all these men are going to stone him, and he writes down in the dirt, and I think probably he wrote their names. What do you think? He probably wrote their names down, that they had been with her, and everybody drops their rocks. And he shows them by example how to forgive. He touches the lives of the sick and the poor and the sinful and the weary, all in full view of his disciples, and then tells them, now, you've seen it in me, now go do it. And he gave us the great example, the great picture of the cross.